My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the trembling in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating. The video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he's still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And if you missed our our second half of our last hour, then you missed out on the opportunity to get the live interview from the Superhuman Center in Ukraine, talking to several wounded soldiers that are there at the Human Center, as well as our friend Neil Bailey, getting a live update from him on their impressions of the war, what's happened, what happened to them, and their stories. And it's just incredible. Also, Rick Manning and I were on talking about the Iran billion-dollar deal, where now it's anyway, you can listen to it. That'll be better. Just listen. Or watch. We'll have the video up as well. Well, I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest to the program. He's a consultant specializing in political campaigns, advocacy, and small business development. He previously served as the executive director of the District of Columbia Republican Committee, America's only fully urban state GOP organization. He's the first Republican ever elected to the D.C. State Board of Education and represented Washington, D.C.'s most racially diverse ward for a full four-year term. I want to welcome the chairman of the D.C. GOP, Chairman Patrick Mara. Patrick, welcome. Good to have you with us. Thank you very much for being here today. I greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, Greg. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Well, I was mentioning to you just very briefly, so when I first saw this on the calendar, the initial first brush was that I was going to be interviewing a Black Lives Matter councilman. And I thought, well, this will be an interesting conversation. But you are kind of surprised that there is a Black Lives Matter supporting council member of the D.C. City Council that is calling on the mayor to say, hey, we need the National Guard.
Yeah, so I am not surprised, and here's why.
Okay.
Well, first and foremost, the council member you speak of, he is quite far to the left, though in recent times he has had to check himself because our homicide rate here in D.C. is through the roof. You know, there were stats last month that basically at every urban area where crime was down, we were the only urban area where crime, you know, where crime is up. Right now, in this halfway through August, all of our crime stats are up from the previous years. It's a complete disaster, and his ward is bearing the brunt of it. What's unusual now is that there are other parts of the city that are not the most disadvantaged ward that Councilmember Trayon White represents, but middle class, upper middle class parts of the city where crime, carjackings. Obviously, the thievery is out of control, homicides, but all crime is up in the District of Columbia. Now, during COVID, you know, in their infinite wisdom, they shut down the police academy for the better part of a year. So no new police were trained. And then with the George Floyd incident and the Black Lives Matter movement, everyone decided it was a great idea to celebrate the decrease in police numbers. So what they did was they did not fund additional police officers. And in doing so, there is a massive rate of attrition that's taking place. You have some officers naturally retiring, but then others, you know, who are just fed up. You know, I mean, this is, as you can imagine, this is not a great time to be a police officer. In 10 years ago, about a decade ago, we had over 4,000 officers. We're down to 3,300, and it is rapidly decreasing the number of officers we have in D.C. In addition, the D.C. Council, which Councilmember Trayon White is a member of, I mean, look, they made it illegal to chase somebody. You know, they made it illegal for a police officer to chase somebody. So it's completely out of control. I think most people in the district at this point, even if you're really liberal, recognize that public safety, that crime is a huge problem. You know, we're D.C., we're Washington, D.C., but we might as well, the D.C., instead of standing for the District of Columbia, might as well stand for the District of Crime at this point.
Well, you know, I was looking. Okay, yeah, here it is. I think I can. I can pull this up for our audience just as kind of a brief reminder of what, you know, was going on or has gone on in D.C. And let's see if this will. Of course, they always have to play a commercial first. Okay, your video will resume in 5 seconds, and it's counting down. Sorry, Patrick, hang on just a second.
Okay. A woman seated outside a restaurant who refused to show her support for the group. The woman being confronted told Washington Post reporter Frederick Kunkel, quote, "I felt I was under attack." A second viral video shows a group of protesters harassing two people outside a DC restaurant. A woman is seen screaming in their faces without a mask after they refused to raise their fist. The video is showing the Black Lives Matter protesters confronting and harassing people eating outside restaurants in Washington, D.C. went viral Tuesday as demonstrations were held nationwide over the police shooting of Jacob Blake.
All right, so that's just one
example. I used to get you guys all the time.
Of you know, what took place. I was trying to find the actual video, but of course it appears they've tried to scrub that, Patrick, but that wouldn't be surprising to us at all, would it?
No.
So in DC, behind this defund the police and removal of police and now a lack of preparedness to deal with these aggressions, and you had the mayor of DC essentially doing everything in their power, you know, during all of the unrest to really facilitate more unrest.
Yeah. So what happened was, obviously it was not to say that, you know, police brutality, obviously happened from time to time. It happened throughout history. But you know what? It didn't happen everywhere. It didn't happen with every single police officer. And instead of supporting police officers, now we've created a situation where now every police officer in an urban area is somebody who commits police brutality. They're not somebody who protects us. And so I think the issue here is a lot of officers are just really fed up with the situation. They're not supported by DC leadership. The mayor did take Mayor Bowser did really take the bull by the horns with Black Lives Matter. She just hugged it right up and celebrated Black Lives Matter, which I think for a time, obviously, it was a trendy thing to do. And it was what everybody was doing. It was what every mayor in every city was doing. But at a certain point, it got completely out of control. And, you know, I saw during COVID, I mean, it was just insane. You see kids taunting police officers. I had never before seen kids taunting police officers. And by the way, these are not, you know, this isn't a police officer, a white police officer. These are typically African-American police officers being taunted by African-American, you know, youth or young adults. It's a very unusual set of circumstances. And so we've unfortunately brought it all the way over to the far left on law enforcement. For whatever reason, broken windows isn't a thing anymore. So any small crime isn't dealt with. We have virtually no enforcement of any sort of traffic crime whatsoever. You have kids riding, kids and young adults riding ATVs up and down. I've seen it on Pennsylvania Avenue a number of times. So there is a complete situation of lawlessness. Then you go into, say, just your neighborhood CVS, and the thing could be busy being robbed at that point. There's very limited enforcement. There's very limited mechanisms to do enforcement. And yeah, you're right. A lot of this started. The reason this steep decline started was just how much we embraced what became a special interest group on par with the labor union, Black Lives Matter.
Well, and you know, their assault also at that point on the White House, right? You know, on when President Trump was in office. I mean, you know, coming out on, was it Pennsylvania Avenue and putting BLM in the street. And I mean, you know, the efforts to assault the president, the burning of the church. I mean, you know, people forget what real rioters actually look like.
Yeah, and you know, the big problem here is the media. They cover what they want to cover. And so instead of covering the violence they should have covered, they're focused on, oh, what are ways we can attack the Republican president today? And that's what they did. And that's what, you know, to this day, that's what they still continue to do. They cover the story they want to cover. And then when there, you know, there could be news, for instance, there could be ethical news with President Biden and his family. but that's not covered at all.
Right.
And so you only, in America, you only have a universe, you know, that watches certain or reads certain news that understands that, oh, there could be something here. There probably is something here. That really, it won't flip over. The special counsel was just appointed, but it really won't flip until one day, you know, obviously CNN or somebody else comes out and says, oh, look, there's a problem. And we saw this with Governor Cuomo, for example, Andrew Cuomo, who was, I remember looking at Twitter during COVID, and you had all these Democrats saying, oh, that's my president, as he did those COVID press conferences every day. Everyone is just vilifying the, you know, the governor of Florida because he's just so evil for keeping the state open. And meanwhile, as it turns out, Andrew Cuomo is just doing everything wrong, has killed a ton of people. And by the way, he's sexually harassing a slew of women at the same time. And so the great Democrat Governor Saint, their so-called my president, as it turns out, was just really, really bad. And again, this was just, to a certain extent, it was just brushed under the rug. Nothing was like, we had like half a news cycle on it. Like, oh, the governor is leaving today. And so it is what it is. And I guess we've, you know, as Republicans, as conservatives, we've learned to kind of accept that, unfortunately. And that's why we all watch other news sources.
Shifting back to the D.C. situation, you've got Jack Smith now who's bringing these charges against President Trump. Obviously, these were D.C. grand juries, and now for some of the stuff that's going on, it would appear that there may be a trial there in D.C. Can President Trump get a fair trial in D.C.?
I mean, I don't think – I mean, never mind President Trump. I don't think Senator Susan Collins can get a fair trial in D.C. I mean that's the thing here is that I'm kind of surprised that they're not able to move the trial. It's first of all, when you're on jury duty in D.C., and obviously this is a different kind of a jury, but you're on every 2 years you're on jury duty, I typically get dismissed because I typically will say I support, you know, anyone committing a crime with an illegal gun, I support their prosecution to the fullest extent of the law. They
and
should know
it.
That.
Yeah.
And that's it, right? Yeah. And so, and, you know, the average person, you know, showing up is not, doesn't believe that, you know, they're willing to give them this, an 11th chance, as it turns out. You know, you may have read that, you know, not, some of our criminals, the gentleman, the mugger who mugged the congresswoman from Minnesota, the Democrat congressman from Minnesota, he'd already been, he had 11 chances, and that was his 12th time. And so can he get a fair trial? I don't think so. You know, the media just brushes this under the rug.
But right.
I honestly don't, given the population, given the size of the population, I do not know how you're piecing together a jury from the District of Columbia.
So that also speaks to our you know, our J6 defendants as well. You know, the vast majority, I mean, more and more the evidence comes out, it's pretty clear that this was, you know, I believe that one of the whistleblowers talked about, or no, the former D.C. Capitol Police to Tucker Carlson in an interview said that there were large amounts of federal agents in the crowd, apparently instigating what was going on. I mean, that's the evidence David Summerall at StopHate.com has 40-some-odd thousand hours of video that he's gone through and produced a documentary about this. My point being, the J6 guys are in the same boat relative to these jury trials and these judges and the whole situation. How do we break that cycle, Patrick?
I do not know the issue. I mean, look, with D.C. generally, it's a peculiar place in that, you know, we don't, you know, even if you look at our criminal justice system, most of our jails are, you know, outside the District of Columbia. And then in addition, you know, the U.S. attorney who's currently appointed by Joe Biden, you know, prosecutes a lot of our crime. And so I do not know the answer to that. I mean, I've spoken to a number of members of Congress about the public safety situation, the criminal justice situation, you know, the situation we have with jails and judges. But I don't have an answer to that.
You know, one of the other issues is, and some of our congressmen attempted to get in to see, and there have been letters that have been sent out by these, you know, prisoners of war, as I refer to them, about, you know, now that particular jail facility. Can you tell us anything about the background of that?
Yeah, that's I hear that it needs to be modernized. But that's about it. When I was on the Board of Education, I tried to get in and they wouldn't let me in.
Wow.
And so that was, you know, that was, so I was, there's very few elected officials in DC. You basically have the mayor, the DC council, the Board of Ed. You have a bunch of, lower level, like town council type things. But the, you know, I couldn't get in. And so this is back between 2011 and 2015, could not get in. And I just got the runaround. And then, you know, you get busy with other, you get busy with other things. But, you know, I thought it would be, it made sense because you should see what's going on with education in the D.C. jail. And I just couldn't get in. And so the part of the issue here is that really you have to be, it looks like, a member of Congress to get in to see the D.C. jail.
Well, and even at that, the, you know, there were members of the of Congress that were tossed out and blocked from being able to get in as well.
Yeah, I think they eventually were able to get in, but I don't. But I do remember there was a bit of a skirmish there that didn't was kind of I don't know if surprising is a strong enough word, but it was definitely surprising to me at the very least.
The other piece that's going on is there continues to be a full court press by the Democrats to turn D.C. into a state. Are you hearing any more buzz about that?
Yeah, that is literally, I don't want to say ancient history, but so for, you know, since, because I remember Marion Barry would give speeches when he was still alive on, you know, Congress is evil and D.C. should be a state. And so this is a, this is typically a crowd pleaser in D.C. Mm-hmm. It's supported by 85% of D.C. residents. But I would say since the congressional intervention on D.C. public safety, when Congress knocked down a very bad law passed by the D.C. Council that even Mayor Bowser didn't support, which you can't make, you know, you just can't make this. So that's how far left the D.C. Council is.
Wow.
Mayor Bowser didn't even support it. Congress overturned it, hadn't done such a thing in like 30 years. So very, very unusual, signed into law by a Democrat president, Joe Biden. That's how bad it was. And so I'd say that during that process, a number of Democrats voted for that. With DC statehood, those Democrats would not have the opportunity to vote to knock something down like this. And so I think, you know, especially like there's the two Democratic senators from Virginia, they both voted to knock it down. And they're going, oh, D.C. statehood, D.C. statehood. No, that's it's I mean, we have people can talk about it, but you have about 15 years, maybe 10, 15 years before it becomes a serious discussion again.
OK.
And that's just a discussion.
OK.
But it's because of that. It's just not happening. And the problem too for DC is that all it's become is it's a Democratic talking point on we can have two Democrat senators.
Right.
And that's not a reason to be a state. When Alaska and Hawaii were admitted, you know, it wasn't a, you know what I mean? When the last,
it wasn't a party thing. Right. It wasn't. Yeah.
Never be a political party issue.
Right.
And that's the problem that exists here. Obviously there's constitutional issues that I'm sure you're well aware of. But you know, once, even if you just put aside the constitutional issues and you talk about this and it really is a bit of a fantasy at this point, to say the least. It was a fantasy before, but now it's a fantasy to the extreme. It's just not happening. And unfortunately, look, elected leaders in DC, mostly Democrats, very, very liberal Democrat. I mean, it's almost hard to fathom how liberal they are. You know, basically we're on par with San Francisco.
Yeah.
But this is what they talk about to kind of soothe the crowd. and to recenter blame elsewhere. And so that's what they do. Let's blame Congress. Let's blame the fact that we don't have statehood. And that's the easy pivot point. You know, you could talk about a piece of trash out there and somebody would turn it into a speech about statehood.
Gotcha. So it's just nothing but talking points and that's virtually it. We're going to run out of time here. Next time we get you back, I want to ask kind of what it is like to be a Republican chairman in such a strong Democratic stronghold. I can only imagine the challenges that you face and the small victories, right? That you
and we really have to celebrate the small victories.
Yeah. Yeah, understood. Well, thank you for standing strong. Irrespective of what the media paints, irrespective of what their polls, quote unquote, show, there are some very good, decent people that live in D.C. that actually share common ideals and are not happy with the direction and with where things are going there.
You know, very much so. And I'd also say, look, there's a bunch of Democrats, too. They're just afraid to do anything.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, my mom, my dad, my grandpa, my great grandpa, they all voted this way. What they don't realize is that 50 years ago, none of them voted this way. But, you know, it's hard to get them to see that sometimes. Patrick, thanks for being with us today. I greatly appreciate it. You have a very blessed day. Welcome back from vacation.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it very much.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye now. All right, we're going to take our break, folks, and we come back. Michael Huff joins me. Mike Huff will be with us on the other side. First responders, we'll get into this topic of Pritzker and the first responders, and more specifically, we'll get into the topic of illegals now being allowed to arrest Americans. Yeah, absolutely. Let's do that. That sounds like a great idea. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. Children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing. Okay, the schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in the child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
Look, I am for marriage between a man and a woman. I am for life from conception. I am for following the Bible, and I believe that our founders started this nation on biblical principles. I am in support of our military and believe that America should play a role in world security. I believe our Constitution was intended for a moral people and that the Bible contains the only true moral code. I believe we are all born sinners and that God in His grace and mercy sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and that if we will confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Hey, this is Pastor Greg. I just want to take a minute to walk you through how to sign up at CGR Wellness. So you're going to type in www.cgrwellness.com. And that is going to take you over here. And the first thing you're going to do is you're going to come over here and you are going to, we're going to shrink this down so it doesn't get in our way. You're going to go right over here to create account. And it is going to offer you the opportunity to create an account. You've got to type in an email address. So So we're going to type in an email address. Be good if I put a good one in there, right? There we go. And now, there is a window that pops up. Now, when this window pops up, here's what you need to do. You need to just X out. Just close that window. Okay? Just close that window. Now we go over here, and we'll use a strong password. And then we'll put in our name. And we'll put in our last name. And then we'll put in an address. And the city. And we'll choose our state. And we don't need a phone number. And it wants us to make sure that we're not a robot, so we'll do that. Wow. And we'll create the account. And now the account's been created. Now, there is a share code. I don't remember what it is right now, but it doesn't really matter. Now you'd go over here and type in Vibe. It's your first product you're looking for. And there is the fruit and veggies superfood liquid multivitamin. Click on that. And you're going to order, I recommend that you order two, and I'll tell you why. If you order two of them and add those to the cart, now here comes the cart. Now, you're going to get your second bottle for half off when you type in Chosen Gen Radio. Chosen Gen Radio, and click apply. And that's going to give you $20 off. Plus, you're going to unlock free shipping. So now when you get your order, you'll get no shipping charge, 2 months worth for the price of a month and a half. And then you can go back over and you can securely check out, put in your billing information and so on, and you're off to the races. So that's how you do it. Nice and easy. Again, cgrwellness.com. When that little window pops up, just X out of it. You don't need that because you're going to get a $20 discount. Once you completed the form and created the account, go to the top, click in Vibe, and then go. Now, I use Vibe, Resvante, Ultra Shot, the EPA fish oil, the Flex, and I also use, this is your apple cider vinegar. And this is your ashwagandha. I use those as well. I'm going to run through this really quick with you. Again, omega-3. And then these products up here. Your Vibe. Your Resvante. The Ultra Shot. And the Flex. Those are the ones that I personally use every single day. I can recommend each and every one of those to you and just assure you that they do a great job. They've made a gigantic difference in my health. All right. God bless you. God bless your health. And thank you for supporting our Indian ministry through this as well. And welcome back to Children Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And my apologies. Well, actually, I didn't even know this, but I found out when I reached out to my guest, he went through a significant storm event last night, and the power has been out all night long. And he, fortunately, at least he was able, he was safe in his home to the point that he was able to communicate with me. And so I'm grateful to have Mike Huff on the program. Mike, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you, sir. Good to be here.
Well, our thoughts and prayers will be with those folks there in Tulsa for the storm that came through last night, knocking out y'all's power, and of course, obviously, everybody's still praying for all of the events that have taken place in Hawaii as well. Lots of significant weather issues that are happening that are leaving us with folks in need of prayer and help and support. So we'll keep an eye on what's going on there. We're here today to talk with you as chairman and co-founder of First Responder Job.
Yes, firstresponderjobs.com.
And to talk about this bill that Governor Pritzker signed, HB 3751, which is going to allow illegals to become law enforcement in Illinois, and from what it sounds like, they'll be in a position to be able to be arresting Americans and so on. Can you take us a little bit behind the scenes on this as you've gone through this bill? What do you see and what concerns you about it?
Well, most everything concerns me about it. It's not against federal law. So although federal agents have to be U.S. citizens, which I think is a basic requirement that should be across the nation, but this governor has decided that they just want to do this to, I think it's more of a stunt than anything. It's not going to be a good thing for anybody. I can't imagine an illegal alien that has not grown up in our culture, does not understand our law enforcement. I can't understand how they would even want to do this. Trying to solve a problem that's going to create a lot more problems.
Well, it seems to me that with what we already know about what's coming across the border, the issues that are facing our country relative to security and safety, the drug cartels, the trafficking, all of these issues that are existing, that now you're basically giving a carte blanche card to potentially some of these same individuals to just create the kind of corruption that we know, for example, exists in Mexico, where you have police, they've gotten, the left has gone nutty about, we need to reduce the size of police, defund the police are bad, all this stuff. And now they are literally going to be giving criminals the authority to commit crime. I understand. I mean, right now, the way the laws are set up, Mike, it's without impunity anyway, because they don't hold them. It's a catch and release policy like the border, or in many instances, it's what used to be a crime. They don't even they say don't call us. We don't want to hear about it. I mean, even vehicles. If they're in Illinois, my understanding, or in Chicago, if somebody steals a car and gets in it and starts to take off, the police aren't even supposed to give chase.
Yes, that is true. And I can't imagine living in a society like that. But it's, Illinois is doing this. California has done it. And no telling where's next. I'm sure it's not going to be a place like Oklahoma. We won't go that way ever. I'm proud to be an Okie.
So that all being stated, what about the background check process? Have you guys done any checking to see what kind of background check? Are they going to discover? I was talking with a guest earlier this morning, to find out are they going to be looking to make sure that these are not foreign previously serving foreign members of a foreign military, as an example?
I'm unaware of what the backgrounds are going to be, but I can't imagine that they're going to be thorough. Departments will not send a person to Mexico to check with people. Most backgrounds for law enforcement officers they're going to look at your education. They're going to look at your place in society. Talk to your old teachers. Talk to your neighbors, your relatives. That can't happen. This is like a pig in a poke here. You don't know what you're getting, and, there's going to be consequences to that.
So, when will they start hiring these individuals? When is this scheduled to be implemented?
I think soon. Some of our guys are in our company area in Las Vegas at the National Fraternal Order of Police Convention, and that's a big topic out there. They're reported back to me last night that the guys from Illinois are very vocal about this. Now, one thing it does, it's not only we're trying to recover from the defund the police, now this is a destroy and demoralize the police. I mean, I spent almost 40 years in law enforcement in Tulsa, and it was my career, and I was proud of it, and I was proud of the job that I was a part of. And, my son's a cop, and I was talking to him about this a couple of days ago, and, he said, no wonder nobody will sign on to be an officer in places like Illinois. They're just not backing them up. They send us out to do a job, potentially put your life on the line, and this is all the respect they can do is say, hey, let's have illegal aliens work alongside you.
Well, when you roll out on a call, I've not been a law enforcement officer, so I'm not going to pretend like but just from a common sense former military and just common sense, you roll out on a call, you need to know that your partner is somebody you can trust, somebody that has your back, somebody that is like-minded on the call. There's a lot that goes into answering these calls, and when you go out as a team, and a lot of officers right now, especially in smaller forces, they're rolling out individually alone, but they've got somebody hopefully nearby in a second unit that they can call for backup. But again, you need to make sure that the guy you're calling for backup is going to respond, that he's going to be there, and that he's going to be looking out for you.
You're exactly right. And also, the citizens of Illinois, when they dial 911, they want to have trust in their police department and the officers that respond. And this is at a time where we need to rebuild trust, not put it more in question.
Well, I mean, how does the citizen have confidence when, you know, I mean, unfortunately, a lot of the illegal traffic is headed into cities like Chicago, states like Illinois, New York, and so on. And I'm not talking about, you know, even where, you know, our governor or Governor DeSantis are busing them in. I'm just talking about in general, the pipeline from the border is to these bigger cities because that's where the cartels are set up to receive them and to put them to work. And so that being said, you've got residents that are obviously well aware of that. They make that call that you're talking about, Mike, and the officer that rolls out is one of those illegal immigrants that potentially is tied to the cartels. What is the business owner going to do?
I just don't know. I think there's going to be a real boon for the private security industry, you know, where they can pay for their own security. I mean, and not everybody can. I mean, not hardly anybody can.
Right. Well, no, because the other issue with these particular states is the taxes that are generally in place, and the taxes are such that they're sucking up a lot of these businesses' profit, so their ability to be able to do that. But now let's say that you've got a private security force. Now you've got a war between the private security force, the potential thieves. And potentially the police who are actually maybe, you know, in cahoots with the criminals.
Yes, that's true. I have no idea what this governor's thinking. I think he's a nut. And I totally understand why people are fleeing Illinois at record pace. You know, this is something that in Oklahoma, we're seeing a lot of people from Illinois and California try to relocate here because it is a state with more common sense, and we care about our people, but Illinois is not one of those states.
Let's go back to, we got a few more minutes left here. Let's go back to your comment about the Las Vegas and the police fraternal order gathering that's taking place there. And let me just ask you, you said that this is on a, you know, very much on everybody's mind and everybody's talking about it, and that potentially this could spread. How high of a concern do you have that cities like New York and places up the East Coast and California and I don't know, there's Washington, Oregon, but that these places are also going to look to follow this same pattern?
I'm very concerned by that. We're seeing a lot of traffic on our website that officers from these blue states are looking for a lateral transfer to departments in the Midwest and South. So this is going to be a migration of police officers away from these places. So they're going to compound their problems by doing these stunts like this.
So really, we're talking about, you know, a greater divide within our society as well as a result of this, right? Because you're going to have extremely lawless states potentially with police forces that are filled with non-Americans, and then you're going to have, you know, the states where they're trying to follow law and order and institute the laws.
It's going to be a mess. Now, can you imagine, use of deadly force situation involving a non-citizen on a U.S. citizen? I mean, cops rightly so, putting under a real scrutiny when they have to use their firearm. And it's not a good thing on the best day.
Right.
But people that grow up not in our society, not understanding our values, not understanding certain aspects of life. Maybe they come from a country that really doesn't protect their women in their society, and they are stuck in our country, and violence against women is not tolerated. And so they don't understand our country. You can't teach somebody all about our country in a 6 month long police academy. You know, it's hard enough to learn how to shoot and the laws and whatever, but this is so destined to fail, and I hate the fact that it's going to fail at the expense of citizens and professional police officers.
Well, we will be keeping a close eye on it. First responder, the number one ST, firstresponderjobs.com, firstresponderjobs.com. And if you're a law enforcement person and you're listening to this and you're looking for one of those lateral moves, first place to check, firstresponderjobs.com. They'd be happy to help you and assist you in the process. Mike, thanks for being with us today. I greatly appreciate it. Prayers will be out there for Tulsa today as you guys kind of unpack the overnight damage of the storm you've faced over there.
Well, thank you, sir.
Absolutely. All right, Mike Huff, Chairman, firstresponderjobs.com. We're going to take a quick break. We come back. Biff Zeppi will be with us on the other side. SHR Media, president of SHR Media. We'll be back with that coming up right after this brief break. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Get more at the website, chosengenerationradio.com, chosengenerationradio.com, and you can pick up at chosengenerationradio.com the recordings. Just go to either the listen page or the show archives. Show archives is going to give you all the information you need for how to listen live as well as how to watch the program. You can watch it, of course, here at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. You get the TECN-TV feed. And then you can watch it recorded up at Clout Hub as well. Back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this brief break.